cannot take much more than promises this time. Only God can change our minds. Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, can healing still be spoken and save us? The only way will last forever is broken together. How it must have been so lonely by my side. We were building kingdoms and chasing dreams and left love behind. I'm praying God will help our broken hearts align, and we won't give up the fight. It's gonna take much more and promises this time. Only God can change our minds. Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, could healing still be spoken and save us? The only way to last forever is broken just be broken together. If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, can healing still be spoken and save us? The only way will last forever is broken together.
Where'd the clicker go? Okay, we're having an Easter egg hunt today. Yeah, the Easter egg I'm looking for is a remote. Okay, now Jordan's helping me. Anybody want to come help us again? Three-fourth cords not easily broken. All right. If we colored it, we might could find it. Oh, there. Go ahead. Oh, me. Don't forget, tonight we have our spring fling. Now it's too late to get tickets to eat because we've already got the meal planned out. The meal tickets are closed out, but there is a silent auction. So those that want to participate in the silent auction, there is some stuff there. There's all kinds of good stuff. There's good stuff and there's junk. So you get to pick. Unique items. Okay, remember, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Amen? That's right. Okay, also, I want to tell you, Bethany asked me to tell y'all this. I'm just going to tell you, we don't know for sure all the ifs, ands, or buts, but Bethany has a reason her arm's been hurting because she has a mass under her arm, and it's a melanoma, and we don't know all that's going on because we have to do some more tests, but it is malignant. And she's saying, please don't squeeze her. It hurts. So if y'all go up to her, pray for her. Don't punt. DC just punched her. That's a big brother. He can do that and get away with it. Amen. Yeah, because she'll punch him back. But still, just remember, she does need hugs, but not squeezes, okay? And she told me, she said, Daddy, the whole time we've been talking about this, I've been saying the 10-word prayer. Y'all remember the 10-word prayer? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So let's be praying for Bethany. It was kind of a shock because none of us were expecting this. So let's just pray for her. We know God's got this. Somebody say God's got this. That's right. And Bethany's tough. She's as tough as a lot or not. Amen. I've gotten strength from her in the last couple of days just talking to her. She is so awesome. All right. Okay. She must have had an awesome trainer. I'm wondering. I'm playing. I had to throw something to be kind of funny, all right? Okay. I want to talk about church membership for a minute. Remember, we're a bunch of broken people, amen? Get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Also, because of circumstances beyond her control, Vicki could not be here today. She just told me a couple of days ago. So we're going to not go through the whole all of this next week. We're all going to invite her into the fellowship next week. And so if there's anybody else that decided that they wanted to be in this, they can. If they weren't here this week, they can be here next week. Amen. God is so good. And everything's gone crazy. Isn't it awesome? I love it. What did Hannibal say? I love when the plan comes together. Obviously, this is a good plan because Satan tries his best to make it aggravating. Here we go. Let's try it now. Let's see. Now what's going on here? We're going to have to call a... We're going to have to... y'all just look at somebody and tell them God's good. Oh, was it turned off? How'd that happen? There we go. Praise God. All right. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 9. You know, I told y'all a couple weeks ago I had done y'all an injustice because I wasn't speaking much on stewardship like I should, and the Lord got on me about it. There's something else that He got on me about, and that is church membership, because you don't have to be a member of this church for me to minister to you, and I minister to a bunch of people all over the place and do a lot of counseling for people that aren't members of the church. But when it comes down to church and church membership, it does matter. And so I want you to know that it doesn't prevent me from ministering to you. It doesn't prevent you from participating by not being a member, but being a member does have its advantages. Amen. It's kind of like, I went to any one of my kids' house today and it was dinner time, I'm pretty sure they'd say, come on in, Dad, grab a plate. Amen. But if I just went on the street, knocked on the door and stepped in, I'm not sure that somebody would be sitting there and telling me to come on in and grab something to eat. Why? Because I'm not a member of their family. They don't even know me. So membership does have its advantages. Amen. So here we go. 1 Corinthians, y'all stand for the reading of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry and you are God's building. Think about that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another build thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So here we go. Watch this. And for other foundation, no other foundation can be laid but that which is Jesus Christ. So here we go. Watch. We are laborers together, which means actually we toil together. We go through the good times. We go through the bad times. We have awesome things. We have not so awesome things happen in our lives. Just in the last 36 hours, I've heard some very tragic news for many families, not just in this church, but in our own family and other things. It's just been some crazy things going on. And you know what? That's life. Life happens sometimes. There's a song that talks about things happening to us at the speed of life, which is very fast. But here we are. We're laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. In other words, He's building us up. And as He's building us up, we are God's building. So we're God's building individually, but we're also God's building collectively. That's what the church is. We're all a bunch of broken people. Nobody in here, not one person in here is perfect. None. Absolutely none. Look at somebody and say, you're not perfect. Now you look back at that person and say, well, you're not either. Nobody is perfect. Everybody has their faults. Everybody has to have God help them. Everybody has to have God work in their life because we are all broken people that God puts together for a common purpose. And so I thank God that He puts us together for that common purpose. Amen. So y'all, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be together, to worship together in spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint. Help us, God, to put away every distraction. Help us, God, put away anything that's going to take our mind off the message. And help us keep our mind on what you're doing for us today, God. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. You be seated on the way down and give somebody a high five and tell them God's moving. Amen, amen, amen. Now remember, after this, we're going to have our membership induction, so to speak, or the door opening. The old timers used to call it the door opening, the church door opening. Now, I read a thing the other day that said, if you took all the people who attended church each Sunday and laid them in the end, they'd be a lot more comfortable. Anybody here ever gone to sleep in church? I've been in some services so boring that my leg went to sleep and the rest of me got jealous. Amen. God is so good. Okay, so here it is. What's the big deal about church membership? I'm going to do it quickly, so this is not going to be a long, drawn-out thing. It's going to be quick, but I did put a lot of stuff up there. I want you to see it. And anytime somebody was asking me about one of the seven ways to praise, anytime you see anything up here and or including the whole sermon, if you want a copy of it, you can get it. And if you can wait after the service, if you can wait for me to get back to it, I'll go and get you a copy right then so we won't forget. But anything you see up here, you're welcome to get a copy of it because I want you to have it in your hands because it helps during the week if you can pull this out and not necessarily depend on your memory. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can remember as good as I always could. Just my forgetter's getting better. Amen. I like what Benny said. Benny said, I'm not bragging, but I can't think of anything I can't forget. I had a trouble remembering his name. I was like, who was that said that? It was Benny. Oh, that's right. Benny said that. Okay. Now in the Word of God, the ecclesia in the Greek is what the church is. The ecclesia. Amen. Now the ecclesia actually is the Greek original word for church. What it means is the called out ones. It doesn't mean the building. It doesn't mean denomination. It means the called out ones. Amen? So it denotes being called out of something. And what are we called out of? The world. And we are called into something. And what is that? We're called into the church. Amen? So we're being called out of the world, into the church, out of the body of the world, and into the body of Christ. A bunch of broken people pulled together with separate abilities and separate gifts, and we're put together and working together. It's an amazing thing that what can happen. Matter of fact, you can't be called out of one thing without being called into another. Remember that. God never calls us out of one thing without placing us in another. Amen? So again, we're called out of the world, called out of a life of sin, called out of destruction into life, into life everlasting. God's doing something special. And so we're put together so that we as a group can make a difference in each other's lives, but we can also make a difference in people's lives outside the body of Christ. So now, we've got some military guys in here. I've never been in the military, but I wanted to go, but when I found I was colorblind, I couldn't do what I wanted to do, and so I told myself, I reckon I won't do that. But still, there's always been that little thing inside of me. What would it have been like if I had joined the military? But then I told the Paul funeral home, when I die, they were doing the flag ceremony. I said, when I die, I want a flag draped over my coffin too. And they said, an American flag? I said, no, a Christian flag. I said, I've been a soldier of the Lord for a long time. So I said, I want a Christian flag draped over my coffin. They said, okay, consider it done. Amen. So here it is. Think about these dog tags. Now, these dog tags are some specific things. These dog tags are necessary. These dog tags actually, these especially right here, they identify you with a church membership itself. Church membership identifies you with a body of local believers. So just like the soldiers, they will wear a dog tag. They wear these dog tags to identify them as a soldier and identify where they serve and even tell some things about them. It's a little bit of information that can be used in order to keep up with this person. But much in the same way, our membership is our ID tag. Our membership tells us that we belong. Amen. Our membership identifies us with a group of believers. It identifies us with a group of believers with common doctrine. It identifies us with believers that are going in the same direction. And the world today needs to know where we stand. That's what baptism is about. Did you know that? Not only is baptism symbolic of the old man going down and being buried and the new man rising up, but in the early church, it was a symbol of, now I belong to the church. And when they were being baptized, when they come up, they were losing their homes, they were losing their jobs, their family was even tearing up their birth certificates because they didn't want them to be a part of the body of Christ. And so they were making a bold stand by being baptized. Likewise, when we become a member of the body of Christ, we are going to have some people that want to have anything to do with us. They're going to want to kind of push us aside until they get convicted, and then you'll find them doing the same thing, coming to you. So church membership makes a statement, and that is, I belong not only to the body of Christ, but I belong to this body of Christ, and I stand with this body of Christ for what they believe in, and we're going to work together. So it identifies us with the local body. But not only does it identify us with the local body, but also identifies your commitment. You know, I think about commitment these days. Commitment is something used to meant a lot. There was a lot of people that were committed to a lot of things back in the day. And in this day and time that we live in, I get kind of spooked when somebody says, listen, when somebody comes up to me and says, I'm committed, you can count on me, I trust you. But when I hear that, I get spooked on the inside, because all through the years, I have heard, I'm committed, you can count on me, I'll be there, and I watch them drop away like flies. It's important that we understand that commitment is not something that we play with. It's not something we just throw around and say, I'm committed and not mean it. To be committed means I am committed. Anybody's got a child in here, you're committed to that child. You'll take care of that child. You're there for that child. Come what may, you're there for that child. The same way, when you're committed to anything in your life, you need to let people know that the commitment is something very powerful in your life. So church membership identifies your commitment. You know, our culture teaches, you know, a limited commitment. Well, I'm committed to my marriage unless things get kind of rough. And I've heard people say, well, you know, like people talk about their homes. This is my starter home. This is my 5-year home. I've heard that lately. The whatever it's called, do-it-yourself network and all the garden shows and all that, they have ruined us, because now people say, well, now this is my 5-year home, or this is my starter home. And now they're saying things like, listen, I've heard it. This is my starter marriage. I've heard it. I'm a marriage counselor. Trust me. I've heard it. Or I've heard, well, if this don't work out, this is plan A, but I've already got plan B. I've already figured out who my next person is going to be if this one don't work out. I had somebody years ago. I mean years ago. Y'all wouldn't know him. Years ago. There was a guy that had a girlfriend and his wife, and he said, and his wife said, can we go talk to, we heard about Brother David, can we go find him and talk to him? He said, okay. So he sits down and talks to me, and I said, okay, what do y'all want to do? First I talked to him by himself, and he said, well, I'm kind of thinking God knows that I'm unhappy, so God doesn't want me with this woman. God's found me another woman. I said, you're married. Don't you know you're not supposed to be happy? All the time. I'm playing with that part. And so the guy says, well, my wife wants us to get back together. I said, well, that sounds like a good thing because God isn't into tearing up marriages and tearing up families. And so we get talking, and as we're talking, we get together, and me and his wife are talking, and him, we're all sitting there talking, and he would never tell his girlfriend. I said, this is only going to work with three people. That's you and your wife and God. That fourth person has got to go if you want this to work. And so she was very patient with her husband about letting him let this woman go. Finally, one day, he came into the office, and I said, they're sitting there. And I said, well, did you ever tell the girl it's over? And he said, well, I'm thinking about it. I want to. And I said, well, hold on just a minute. In the office, I pulled out my phone. I said, what's your girlfriend's number? He said, oh, it's 252. He said, 777, I'm at 777. He said, 7861, I'm at 786. Well, he said, whoa, what are you doing? I said you can't find time. We got time now. We break it up. And he said, would you please quit calling her? I said, well, you won't. I will. Your wife wants you to. You say you want to. The woman knows you can't be with her, so I'm going to help you out. What did you say it was? 252-777-718. He said, please stop. I said, well, dude, I mean, you big and bad, but you ain't big and bad here. He said, I tell you what. He looked at his wife and said, if you give me a chance tonight, I'll do it, and you ain't got to worry about it. And sure enough, they did it. The people got together. They were happier than ever. People said whenever they saw them together, they were holding hands and kissing in public, and they were so awesome. They said, and they wound up working in ministry together. It was amazing. But commitment. They became committed to the marriage instead of committed to other junk. Let me tell you something. Commitment's not based on my happiness. Commitment's not based on my if I'm miserable. Commitment's based on I'm committed no matter what. You can count on me. You know, Uncle Ralph called me, and I was sitting in a slate stone. It was 10 o'clock at night. I'm working on a sermon, and my uncle calls me and says, I need some wood taken out of the back porch. He's got cancer. So I need wood taken and put in my wood box. I said, well, Uncle Ralph, can I do it tomorrow after church? I'll come by after church and do it. He said, no, I need it tonight. I'm cold. I said, wasn't there somebody else around there that can do it? He said, I've called all the people that told me they were going to help me. I can't get a hold of them. I'm working on my sermon, but I told him, I said, if you ever need me, I'll be there. So what I did was I got in my car, and I'm driving all the way from Washington, go to Possum Track, and when I walked in his door, he said, you know what? I forgot you moved. I thought you lived across the street. I said, no, Uncle Ralph, I live across the town, the next town. And he said, well, I wish you hadn't come. I said, I told you, if you need me, I'll be here. I said, so end of story. Again, let me tell you something, commitment. So we teach a limited commitment in marriage, in friendship, on our job, at school. Whatever we do, it's a limited thing. But you know what? Christ is all about commitment. He's all about it. Matter of fact, he says in Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself. The cross shows commitment. Christ loved me when I was unlovable. Christ committed to my life when I weren't even ready to give him my life to him. Commitment. So church membership identifies your commitment, and this commitment provides opportunity. Now, this is so awesome. It provides opportunity for you to be part of a spiritual family. And as a part of a spiritual family, we all kind of go through things together. We solve problems together. We even help each other and lift each other up in prayer. I love that thing now that we've got on the text message system that goes out, because yesterday I got a prayer request that went out. Also got something reminding us about the supper tonight. All this stuff's going out on these text messages because I'm part of the body. I got a call tonight. I was getting ready to leave. We were going to go help Don and Jeannie do something after service. And I got a friend of mine is in the Almighty Army. He's a preacher friend. Well, about a month ago, he wrote to me and said, "Who is this?" And I said, "It's Pastor David. Who is this?" Playing with him. I even said Gordo or something. Something. I was playing with him. Nothing ever came about of it. I'm getting ready to leave to go to Don and Jeannie's, and it's ringing. So I picked up and called the pastor by name. I said, "What's happening, dude?" And it weren't him. And I said, "I'm sorry, who is this?" He said, "Is this Pastor David?" I said, "Yes, Pastor David." He said, "This is such and such." He said, "I just want you to know, at the first of the year, I bought this phone, and this is my new number. I've had it for several months." And he said, "The very first morning, this mighty army came in." And he said, "It hit the spot." He said, "The next morning, it hit before I went to work, and it hit the spot." He said, "So I sent a text to you and said, 'Who is this?' You said, 'Pastor David,' and you cut up some. And I just kept on. I didn't write you back." He said, "Because I was scared that you were going to take me off the mighty army once you found out I was somebody else." And I said, "I'm not going to take you off. You're fine. You're fine. Just stay on there." He said, "Please don't take me off." He said, "Man, it's been good." I said, "Buddy, I told you I was committed to this. You'll be fine. It'll be okay." He said, "Thank you, man." And then again, he said, "Please don't take me off Mighty Army." I said, "I'm not going to take you off Mighty Army, man." I said, "Matter of fact, if you want, put your friends on it. We'll put them on it too." He said, "Okay, good. I'm so scared you were going to take me off because I weren't one of your members." I said, "Well, guess what you're a member of now?" He said, "What?" I said, "You're a member of Mighty Army." He said, "Thanks, man." Again, look, see, in this environment we're in, we get to talk to one another. We get to care for one another, nurture one another. It's amazing because now we share in things. You know, it makes it better for me because a lot of times I have discovered over the years that my church family has actually been closer to me than my regular family, as far as my outer, my brothers and sisters and stuff, because they don't share necessarily the same Christian goals that I share. And they may not even share the same. Some of them may not even be in church. And so they don't quite understand. I try to talk to them and they don't listen, or they try to tell me something that doesn't make sense. But I've got y'all. We're a family. It's awesome. We can talk to one another. I like 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "If one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it." And 1 John 3:16 says, "But by this we come to know progressively, to recognize, to perceive, and to understand the essential love that He laid down His own life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for those who are our brothers and sisters in Him." So it identifies our commitment. Next, I love this part because I'm all about teams. It identifies you as a team player. You know, there was a Lone Ranger, but you know, he died on his own bullet. Amen? There's no Lone Rangers. We have to be together. We have to be part of something. Everybody, it's in your psyche. Everybody has to be part of something. That's why we have families, because we're part of something. That's why we have outer families, inner families. We have circles of friends. We have inner circle of friends. That's because we all, every last one of us, have to have that sense of belonging. We have to be part of something. And in order for us to really be fulfilled, we have to be part of something bigger than us. And so because we have to be part of something bigger than us, here we go. Look, did you know that all of us is smarter than one of us? All of us has got prayer power more than just one of us. Got more prayer power. All of us have more faith than just one of us. So I like to think of membership as like a covenant. Because I can get a membership, you know, I can send in 25 cents in a box top and become a membership of the Kellogg's Breakfast Club. But a covenant, the word covenant means to cut. It means it costs you something. It means it's more than just out of the mouth. Now it's part of you. And so when you become part of the church family now, it's that covenant. And one part of that covenant emphasizes the importance of working together for kingdom purposes. Remember, there's no Lone Ranger. Matter of fact, I like the Lone Ranger, but you know what? Every now and then I like to be the Lone Ranger, but I can't ever find Tonto. I mean, he's always busy somewhere else. And so the church family becomes God's laboratory. Did you know that? Here's where we learn how to interact. Here's how we learn to get along with our family. Here's how we learn, you know, in sociology. I'm taking one of my second sociology class right now, and it talks about socialization. And it talks about five main socializations in every person's life. And the number one socialization is our family. They teach us how to get along with people. And they teach us how to interact with one another. And so a lot of people have problems because their family may have been dysfunctional. But let me just tell you something. Did you know that every family is dysfunctional? Did you know that? Matter of fact, sometimes I think the Lentons put the funk in dysfunctional. Every family has a part of its own dysfunctionality. But you have the socialization. Then you have school. Think about it. You have school, then you have work, and then you have your inner circle of friends, your outer circle of friends. That's socialization. But then you have re-socialization. Re-socialization is when now you're taught to do something different, to come about it in a different way. Now work is like that. College is like that, re-socialization. But one of the biggest things for re-socialization is the church. Once I started in the church, I learned a whole different way. You know, before I started the church, I didn't know that guys were supposed to be hugging each other. Before I started the church, I didn't tell a bunch of people I loved them all the time. Before I started in church, I didn't know that there was a big family. We could hold hands. We could pray together. That stuff didn't happen. But that re-socialization is because now I'm part of that team. And so now I'm in this environment. And in this environment, I get a chance to practice unselfish love. And I get a chance to show my commitment to one another. I'm almost through. Somebody say amen. If y'all start talking, I'll be through faster. All right. There are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's still the same God who works all in all. So you see, the church is a gift to the world. Did you know that? We are God's gift to the world. We show them something. We teach them something. We make them hungry. We are the salt. We are the light. But when you join the church, I mean, when you really get in there and you really become part of it, I mean, really dig in deep, here's what happens. Now it helps you identify your giftings because now, watch this, membership enables us to develop and use our giftings, what God's given us. You know, each one of us has a unique role. Did you know that? None of us can do everything. None of us. Try it. You try doing everything in here. It don't work. You know, did you know this is the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle, 75-25, but it's around 80-20. Did you know that 20% of the people in church bring the food to homecoming and 80% eat it? Did you know that 20% of the church folk do all the work? 80% spectate? Ouch. Did you know that 20% really, really, really push and take care of stewardship and take care of the church and make sure things are going while 80% could honestly have no idea what's going on? It's the Pareto principle. Even in your family, you may have a family, and in your family, there's 20% of that family that's going to be the ones that do all the work. And 80% are going to want to participate, but they don't necessarily want to do the work. So it's the 20-80 principle. When I was at work, when I was at Fountain, 20% of the engineering team were the ones I went to. The 20% did 80% of the work. Did you know that? I had 20% of my people did 80% of the work. The other 80%, I just gave them enough to keep them out of trouble. 80-20. 20% does 80% of the work. 20% does 80% of the giving. 20% does 80% of the bringing. So again, it's very important that we learn to use our giftings. You know, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How does he build his church? With the giftings that he's given all of us. That's how he builds his church. You are a tool in God's hands. Did you know that? I'm a tool in God's hands. You're a tool in God's hands. I'm almost through. We're getting ready to open up the doors. Amen. It also identifies our accountability. You know, we are expected to contribute our resources that God's given us, our time, our talent, our treasure. We're expected to do all this. But, you know, now, and God wants us to do that to Him, and so we do it to Him through our local church. It's amazing. Now we got a place where we can work out of. We got a place we can work through. We've got a body of believers that we can be accountable to. And I love being accountable, because when I'm not accountable, you know, it's like this. What I learned a long time ago, what is not inspected is not respected. Think about it. What is not inspected is not respected. And so I like, you know, accountability. When we become members, now it provides that tangible way to cooperate with God, to build character, and to build faith. So here it goes. I got two more, and I'm getting ready to close. Some of y'all look like, come on, Pastor, we got to take us in. Oh, we still want to. All right, accountability. So now, watch this. Church membership matters. Every one of us is a piece of that puzzle. You belong. Now, again, because of circumstances out of our control, Vicky can't be here. We're going to do this again with her next week. And if anybody else would like to do it next week, too, that'll be fine. But we're going to go ahead, because we keep trying to get it when everybody can be here, and it just keeps getting slipping through the cracks. So today, right now, all of those that want to become a part of this body today, come on up here. All those only part of the body, come on up here. Who's got the razor? We're going to shave everybody's head. Who's got? Look at these good-looking people. and this beautiful person right here. Look like her pawpaw. All right. Come on. Bring them all up here. Here you go. Slide them down, y'all. Y'all slide down a little bit so we can get everybody in the middle. you are awesome right in the middle with that bow tie and that white shirt. He's right in the middle. You're awesome, dude. And that halo, yeah. Is that a reflection of my halo? That's your halo. All right. Y'all ready? I'm going to ask y'all some questions. I want y'all to just answer these questions to the best of your ability, and then we're going to invite you in. Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for our sin, rose again, and was resurrected on the third day, ascended and is seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and received full pardon of your debt of sin? Are you willing to walk in the light of His Word as you are enlightened through personal study and through the instruction received from this body through the teaching and preaching of the Word? Okay. Do all the other members of this body promise to do all they can to assist our new members in their walk with Christ? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for these awesome people. I thank you, God, for their commitment, their tag today of membership. I ask you to touch them, to bless them, to use them mightily in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm looking forward to this being the beginning of a long and fruitful relationship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Bless them, Lord, because Satan will try to fight them over this, but we know that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We pray. And the church said, all right, hold on. Y'all get ready. Y'all go and clap your hands. Go ahead and clap your hands. Y'all get ready. Let me be the first to give you the right hand of fellowship as you become a faithful member of the church body. Feel free to call on me anytime, any place, anywhere. Y'all come on up and line on up and give them the right hand of fellowship. Welcome to the body of Christ. All right. I mean, welcome to the church. This church body of Christ. You're already a member of the body. God bless you. God bless you. My brother. You look
sharp as a tack, man. Look, I started wearing pink shirt too.
Look, God bless you.